Second hour, DDC on this gorgeous Thursday here in Middle Tennessee. They're going to tip here in about 15 minutes. Michigan and Colorado State will get the NCAA tournament action underway. We're going to keep you abreast of all the scores throughout our show, for sure. Darren McFarland, Derek Mason with you. Willie Donick will join us a little bit later from Philadelphia. Now joined by Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. The Buffalo Bills have just released Cole Beasley. Terry, do you think that's somebody the Titans should be interested in?
Maybe. I mean, they got to have somebody play wide receiver. I mean,
they do.
You know, otherwise, A.J. Brown's going to be triple teamed on every play.
Yep. Because, you know, I mean don't they, Derek? What do you think of Cole Beasley? Jump in here real quick.
I mean, he's a good slot guy.
Right. Don't they need that?
He's shifty. Yeah. So, I mean, you just wonder why the Bills released him. Because he was productive for the Bills in the slot. Getting a little older. I think the Titans just need to go younger at that position. I just think they do.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Derek, let me ask you this, while we're on that subject. As far as we know, that the Titans now need at least two receivers, a number two and a slot. For the slot position, would you rather have a guy who's shifty the way you played when you were in the slot, or would you rather have a breakaway speed guy like a Tyreek Hill who can stretch the field? What's more effective in this offense?
Well, the thing with Tyreek is that he's both shifty and fast. That's why he can play inside and out. But in this offense, I think they need a shifty guy. I think they need a guy that can move the chains, a guy that can, a guy sort of in the mode of a Cooper Kupp. If you look at Cooper Kupp and you study him, everything that he does is basically in the middle of the field. Whether they motion him down, they put him in trips, they get him off the ball, but everything that he does is centered around being in the middle of the field, having a two-way go, using his quickness, because he's not a burner, but he's damn quick. That's what the Titans need, a guy that can get separation in between the hashes. He doesn't need to get a 2 or 3 yard separation. I just need to get him to be able to move from point A to point B very quickly so that Ryan Tannehill can release the ball and get it to him and get up the field. That's the type of guy they need.
Cole Beasley was targeted 112 times this season. He had 82 receptions for 693 yards and a touchdown. The previous year in 2020, he was targeted 107 times, 82 catches, 967 yards, and 4 touchdowns. That's the last two seasons.
That's high volume, but you're not getting I know the numbers say 82. You're still not getting the catches. The yardage doesn't match the catch.
8.5 this past season, 11.8 the previous year.
Yeah, 8. Yeah. Yeah.
What was yours?
When?
Like when you had 100 receptions, what were you averaging a catch?
A little over 10.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Weren't you around 10 or 11?
Yeah. But I was in year 13.
Okay. 14, well, yeah, he's, 13, I mean, 14. He's 32 years old. So
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. They need somebody younger.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
8.5 is a tight end number.
Yeah, they can get that with a shifty tight end. They need somebody younger. Now, if Cole Beasley can, recreate what he did, 10 yards plus, then that's great.
Yeah.
But if he's giving me 8 yards again, I can't do it.
Okay. Well, I don't know if he's shifty, but how about Austin Hooper? Seems like he's out there. No, it doesn't seem. He's out there and available. What do you think of – should the Titans be interested in Austin Hooper?
I think so, because he's a dual-threat tight end. Last year, part of the problem was they didn't play 12 personnel enough because they never really replaced Jonnu Smith on the roster. And I think that when they were even in that personnel, if Ferkser was on the field, I think it signaled pass. If Swain was on the field, I think it signaled run too much. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So I think in order to be less predictable, you need a versatile tight end like a Jonnu Smith, where if it's 2nd and 6 or 3rd and 3, you don't know if a pass or a run's coming.
Why did his stats go way down in Cleveland as opposed to what he was? Remember when he signed with – I mean, it was like the big to-do, right? I mean, he had been very, very productive in Atlanta. And his numbers went way down in Cleveland the last two seasons. Why? Is this pile on Baker Mayfield? Is this his fault too?
I think that's some of it. I think that's probably some of it. You know, just judging from afar, you know, I didn't get to watch the Browns a whole lot this year, but I think everybody knows that, you know, Baker Mayfield had that shoulder injury and he struggled and didn't put up the numbers that he had in 2020. And I think, you know, the whole offense's production suffered as a result. And I think that the other thing is, too, Cleveland's built a lot like the Titans. They're a run ball first team. Atlanta's offense was based around, you know, the passing game with Matt Ryan, with Julio Jones, with, you know, Calvin Ridley, you know, with those guys when Hooper was there.
What was your surprise level of yesterday's news after our show? Titans moving on from Julio Jones.
Not really that surprised because, I mean, you look at it, and when you're over 30 and you have a high cap number and you haven't been particularly productive, you're a candidate to get released when a team has salary cap problems. And I think, you know, Julio Jones, Janoris Jenkins, Roger Saffold, you know, all those guys kind of in the twilight of their career, you know, and Derek will tell you this, in free agency, you may sign a guy to a five-year contract, but if he's 28 years old when you sign him or 30 years old when you sign him, he's not playing out that five-year contract. If you get 3 years out of him, that's a good signing. And I think that that's kind of the situation the Titans found themselves in with a lot of these guys, and Julio Jones, one and done because the hamstring injury just didn't allow him to be productive enough to stay at you know, $10 million cap salary hit or whatever.
Now, you're right about that. I mean, when you have a guy that's making that much money but he's not giving you that production and he's older, you're more than likely to get rid of him. I thought it was a bad deal from this standpoint, and Darren and I talked about it earlier, and tell me if you agree. I thought it was a bad deal because they thought they were getting Julio of 2 years ago, when in fact they got Julio not even from the year before he got to before he came here. You got just a Julio that is pretty much hanging on. And he didn't fit in the role that you wanted him to play. He's not a two anymore. He's more like a three. And the Titans wanted him to be a complimentary, more than a complimentary two, and it just didn't work out.
No, you're exactly right. It was a situation where A.J. Brown was going to draw a lot of the attention, which should have freed Julio up to win a lot of one-on-one matchups. And I think the combination of injuries and, you know, the fact that Julio was getting a little bit older and that Ryan Tannehill didn't play as well this year, I think all those factors contributed to his lack of production. And then, you know, the injury, though, is the biggest thing, because I think just, you know, the lack of availability. When you miss a third of the season in and out of the lineup with a hamstring injury, the time you're out there had better be darn productive, or else you're running the risk of getting moved on from, and that's exactly what happened. I think you hit the nail on the head. The Titans thought they were getting, you know, 2018 Julio Jones, and that wasn't the case.
But even with that, Terry, even when he wasn't, you know, even when he was playing, he was out of a lot of the formation changes. He was out a lot of times down the stretch. That should have been a telltale sign to everybody that this guy isn't what Vrabel wanted him to be, or this wasn't even Vrabel's first choice or choice period. This was handed to him. Listen, we're going to make the trade. You take him and work with him.
Yep, no doubt. I mean, it's very telling that on the final play of the season when Tannehill threw the interception, Julio Jones is on the sideline and they're throwing the ball to Nick Westbrook Akina in traffic.
And that happened several times during the season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a telltale sign. I think, you know, it's been done a lot here over the years. You know, we saw Andre Johnson at the tail end of his career. We saw Randy Moss at the tail end of his career. We saw Eric Mould. And you can add Julio Jones to that list. You know, I mean, you know, not all wide receivers are, you know, I guess, are the way that you were, where you maintained productivity well into your 30s. There are a lot of guys that once they get to be 31, 32 years old, it's gone. It's just like a pitcher losing his fastball. When you're, you know, there are some guys that when you're not throwing 95 anymore and you're throwing 88, they're getting hit all over the place because they don't learn to adapt and change with their diminishing skill set. And it's the same way with wide receivers.
Now, do you think this changes what the Titans want to do or will do via the draft? Do you think they go and get a receiver with that first pick?
I think they have to get a receiver at least by the third round. They got to get somebody in who can give them a plug and play at least as the number three receiver. I can see them probably going into free agency and picking out a guy that maybe could complement A.J. Brown and be the number two receiver. You know, I mean, a guy like Juju Smith-Schuster, if you could get him at the right price, that would be a great pickup. I don't know, you know, I haven't been told that they have interest in him or don't have interest in him, but I'm just kind of throwing that name out there because that's a guy who's still young enough, just completed his first contract and still has some upside that you could find some value in if you invest in a guy like that. But draft-wise...
Now, should the... No, go ahead. I'm sorry, Terry.
But draft-wise, I mean, you're down two receivers right now. You've got to draft one and sign one in free agency, in my opinion, because I don't think you can go into 2022 with this offense if you're saying that Nick Westbrook-Ikhina and Chester Rogers are your two and three receivers right now.
Well, they're more like three and four, even though I like Westbrook-Ikhina, but I just think he's more so a three that can play the two if he needs to, but he's not a legitimate two. Should fans be worried that the Titans haven't done much in free agency thus far?
I don't think so because, I mean, look, the Jacksonville Jaguars win March every year and then they win four games. So I think, you know, free agency a lot of times is not about making the big splash, which the Titans kind of did last year with Bud Dupree and then later on with Julio Jones once they traded for him. You know, it's not about winning the offseason. It's about making the wise and smart investments that's going to make your team better, both at least in the short run when you're talking about free agency. I mean, we'll take a look at it last year. Everybody was all excited about the Bud Dupree signing because that was a big splashy move. But we knew that he was coming off an injury and he wasn't nearly as effective as they needed him to be. The best signing they made last offseason, no doubt, was DeNico Autry.
And hands down,
the way that guy played, he elevated that defense to a level that it hadn't been at the year before.
Terry, good stuff. Appreciate it as always. How do you see? Did you fill out a bracket?
I did not. I've been. We're up in the mountains. My son's had baseball all week up here on spring break. So,
oh, cool.
We are. In between watching baseball games, I'm going to try to catch a little bit of the tournament today.
All right, good stuff. Hey, thanks for doing this. We'll talk soon.
All right.
Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com is where you can find his work. Come back and talk a little bit about those moves and maybe who the Titans and John Robinson should be targeting here as the free agency period is officially underway. It's also almost official tip time, right? It's time to get going. Michigan and Colorado State to get all the action started. We are about to get the NCAA tournament underway in about 2 or 3 minutes. And with that being said, you know, on wager last night, I had Rutgers. I did. I felt good about it. David is back there laughing. I know. I felt good. And I wagered with some of you out there, and I lost a heartbreaker in double overtime, getting 1 point, and they lost by two. So Rutgers, tomorrow at noon, you're on the list. But you know what? It's a new day. It is an absolute new day. And I've got a couple more wagers out there on some games. We know it's tournament time. We're going to be very active today. I'm going to get some winners today. Although, who knows? With my luck, it may be a good chance for you to jump on there and take some of my money. And even though you got me yesterday, you may not get me today. You need to check out the wager app. I'm excited to get a win streak going. So let's see. Let's wager. For those who don't know, I'm talking about Wager. W-A-G-R. A new Nashville-based social sports betting app that I'm really enjoying. I like it a lot more, though, when I'm winning. But you have enjoyed taking it from me, so I know you're having fun. I'm having an awesome time challenging you out there, friends, coworkers, listeners, all over the state of Tennessee. This is so much fun than betting against the book. You know the book that's incentivized to see you lose. Also, you never have to chase anyone for money. You can smack talk on this app. You can follow friends, see what others are wagering on, and see where who's on the leaderboard. See what their record is. You can look at my record. It's fun and it's social. I'm sending out and accepting some wagers every single day with the tournament underway. So if you're over 21 years of age, download the app on your phone's browser at wager.me/DMAC. That's wager, wager.me/DMAC, DMAC. Once you're in, join the 102.5 The Game crew. Let's see if you can take some money from me. I'll be sending out some wagers today from New Heights Brewing Company. So sign up. Let's see what picks you've got. Got a lot of fun games underway. As always, you've got to be 21 years of age or older. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-889-9789. Make sure you go to thegamenashville.com/deals. Check out Nashville's best deals. This week, half off a $50 gift card for Bavarian Beer House at Opry Mills. Bavarian Beer House, Nashville's only authentic German beer hall. Place to have fun, food, music. Most importantly, they've got beer. Enjoy traditional German bratwurst, schnitzel, giant pretzels, and more in their Oktoberfest-inspired space. Visit beerhouse.com or beerhousenashville.com for their live music schedule. Remember, that's a $50 gift card, half off, while supplies last. Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland and Derek Mason with you. We're here live at New Heights Brewing Company, 928 Rep. John Lewis Way. The tournament is underway. We'll keep you updated on it. Colorado State has jumped out to a 14-9 lead over Michigan. All right, let's get into some of the conversation that we had with Terry McCormick. By the way, someone on our text line, because I did want to address this, Jeff on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com said, doesn't Cole Beasley have concussion issues? Well, you would think a little slot guy, probably, but I was looking his career, I mean, he's pretty much been available 15, 16 games out of the year.
Yeah.
Now, he may be playing through stuff, but 80% of the NFL plays through stuff.
Yeah, I never known him to have.
Roger Saffold played through stuff.
Yeah, I never known him to have any concussion issues. Now, I could be wrong because I hadn't followed, you know, him since he left Dallas. But, I mean, he could have. I don't know. But it seems like if he had concussion issues, he would have missed more games.
Yep. Yeah, right. I mean, that's there's protocols, and it's a little bit different than when you played.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he played – they're saying he played in 16 games last year. He played in 15 games in 2020. He played in 15 games in 2019, 16, 15, 16, 16, 16 – 14, and then 10 his first year. So, I mean, that means he's been available. And his number
– he's had good numbers.
I mean, his numbers have been pretty steady for a good while.
Yeah. I mean, he's a good slot receiver.
Question is, what do you have to – you know, what does he command now? What do you have to pay him?
If you're saying he's one of the better slot receivers in this year's free agency crop, then, you know, I would figure you would have to pay him $5 million a year. You know,
Does he get a multiple-year deal at his age?
I think he does. But, you know, with what team, you know? I don't see him getting a deal more than 3 years. But even a 3-year deal could still end up being a 1 or 2 year
thing. We know how it works.
You know, if the Titans were to sign him, I guarantee you it would say 2 or 3 years, but it would really be a 1 year deal.
Yep.
But that's a guy that's, you know, that's out there. And if the Titans want to go that route, Allen Robinson is out there as well.
Yeah, but I mean, Allen Robinson
he's
is gonna not
command
coming
bigger. He's going to command a bigger dollar. Odell Beckham, but he wants to go back to the Rams, but he's also going to command a bigger dollar.
But he's coming off ACL in the
ACL.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, but
so he's not going to be available.
He's not going to be available
the first half of the season.
Yeah, the middle of the season. So they need somebody. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster is a guy, but he's more of an outside guy than he is an inside guy. I think it's critical for the Titans to get them an inside slot guy. Because I think they draft a guy and they can kind of, you know, play him into, you know, the rotation. I think Westbrook Akina can possibly be a two until that guy catches up, whether it's, you know, if he's ready by the first game or the fifth game. I think that gives them enough leeway because don't get it twisted. They're still going to lean heavy on Derrick Henry. They are. So that might give them a time, if they do draft a wide receiver, to give that receiver enough time to get acclimated to the NFL game. So they still can bring in an outside guy, or they can allow, you know, Westbrook Akina. What, this is his third year, I believe. So it's usually that third year where, you know, a receiver makes that make his biggest jump. So I'm pretty sure that they're looking for Westbrook Akina to make another jump.
What do you think of Austin Hooper?
I think he would fit the Titans and what they want to do. He's a versatile tight end. They need that tight end.
The problem I have worry about him is he's been paid big bucks. So is he still looking to be a big buck tight end? Big bucks, plural, tight end? I mean, he got the big deal from Cleveland.
Yes.
He's been paid pretty well. He's been paid like an elite tight end, but I'm not so sure. I don't know. I don't know what happened to Cleveland. I know they had Njoku.
Yeah.
But it's not like Njoku was taking a ton away from him. But I guess maybe because they brought in Odell Beckham, maybe because they had Jarvis Landry. I don't know. They were a running team, as Terry stated. They are. They are a team that's heavy on the run, just like the Titans.
But it also could be, and this is what maybe I'm a little bit hesitant, because once he signed that deal, his production started to go down.
Yeah.
So
no,
you might not have to pay big dollar to get this guy. His production has went down when he got a deal.
Well, he would be the runaway, and I mean runaway, and I can't run right now. The runaway best tight end on this team.
Of course he would be.
I mean, not even close.
But, okay, with him.
Is he better than Jonnu Smith?
I don't think so.
Really?
I just don't, man. I like Jonnu.
I think his numbers would tell you, though. He's had better production, hasn't he?
Yes. I think had the Titans kept Jonnu, then Jonnu's numbers would have been much better than they were last year in New England.
He's had a 75 catch season and a 71 catch season in Atlanta. What was Jonnu's best?
His best was here.
Oh, well, yeah, no doubt.
His best was here.
Again, on a run-oriented team, I get it. 41 was his best here?
On a run-oriented team.
When he was set to be a free agent.
Exactly.
His career year was 41 here. Austin Hooper had, like I said, a 71 and a 75 catch season. His first season in Cleveland, 46, 38 last year.
But here's the deal with Jonnu. Every year he got better as a player. And that's it just behooves me. It's just I'm just like, why didn't they keep him? That should have been one of their priorities. Okay, they let their wide receiver go. Why didn't you then try to keep your tight end?
Well, they could have done it because instead that money went to Julio Jones.
Exactly. A guy that was 32 years old coming off an injury, and you decided to pay him $14, $15 million. But you could have gave your tight end $7, $8, $9, a guy that Ryan was used to. Ryan trusted. He made big plays for this team. He was a matchup problem from anybody that the Titans played. But you decided that just because, you know, Ferkser and the other tight ends made some really good catches in games that, oh, we can go with those guys instead of Janu. Well, why do you think they were getting those catches? That irks me. You think a guy like Janu can be replaced, and he couldn't. And if you don't go get someone of his stature and his status and a guy that had the athleticism like a Janu, you're going to be stuck in this tight end carousel. You were stuck in a receiver carousel for damn near over a decade. You're going to be stuck in a tight end carousel. You had Delaney, and you drafted Janu. Janu was able to learn while Delaney was still here. So the transition, even though I hated it because I thought he still had a lot of years left. But once I saw this kid start to play, he is a clone of the person they just released.
All right, there's more people asking about more players on the text line. We'll talk about them. We'll continue the discussion on the other side. By the way, if you're on or you're headed toward I-24 between Laverne and Waldron Road. Waldron Road and Old Hickory. In between that area, anywhere, either side, stay clear, okay? There's evidently been a tanker overturned, and basically everything is shut down. So if you are headed that direction, get on Waze or something else, and you're going to probably get diverted somewhere else, right? Because that area is a bad place to be. We'll continue on this discussion here on the DDC. ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're broadcasting live here at New Heights Brewing Company. Come hang out with us. The NCAA tournament is underway. Colorado State leading Michigan 18-13. About 8 minutes to go in the first half. Darren McFarland, Derek Mason here. Let's talk about the situation up in Cleveland. Daryl Ryder, 92.3 The Fan. He covers the Browns up there, is on the line with us. Daryl, I'm sure this is the first interview you've done in the country talking about the Browns and Baker Mayfield, so thanks for doing it. Hashtag sarcasm. What the heck is going on with Baker Mayfield? No, we haven't been drinking. I know that was your next question. We're at a brewing company. We have not been drinking. What is going on? Is this marriage over? Where is this headed?
They have some fences to mend, that's for sure.
Are they in counseling? Like, you know, where are we at?
Well, I don't know if they're in counseling, but they might want to seek some. you know, look, the Browns tipped their hand, and they clearly don't feel like Baker Mayfield is a quarterback that can help them win a Super Bowl, which is why they took the flyer on Deshaun Watson. The bad news is Deshaun Watson told them today he's not interested, thank you, but no thank you. So now they're back to Baker Mayfield. And, you know, saying that he is their starter going forward, which, of course, I think he has to be because right now they don't have anyone. And also, quite frankly, what's out there on the free agent market just really isn't that appealing. So they have fences to mend with Baker Mayfield. There's no question about it. Mayfield jumping on social media and writing what read to me like a goodbye. I know it was a thank you letter to the city of Cleveland, but it read to me like he was saying, bye-bye, peace out, I'm out of here. But he's not out of here. He's still the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, even though they tried to replace him. And so, like I said, they're just going to have to come together and try and put this marriage back together.
That's what it seems like it was. So what was the reaction up there? Is that the way people feel in that market, that he was saying goodbye? And how do people feel about him just basically pulling the ripcord?
Well, it's pretty divided up here, to be perfectly honest with you. You know, 50-50, half the fans love Baker and, you know, can't believe the Browns would even entertain the thought. And then others are like, okay, we get it. He's not good enough. But Deshaun Watson, really? Guy's got, you know, all these sexual assault allegations against him and whatnot. That's who you're going to replace him with. And then the other part is like, hey, man, Deshaun's a great player. Let's roll. So it's a very polarizing topic here in Cleveland.
What is option B? If they are indeed moving on, then what's option B? Who's behind door number two?
Well, I quite honestly, I think their option B going into this process is Baker. That's the impression that I got this morning. 24 hours ago, if you had asked me, I don't know, but it just, it felt like 24 hours ago this thing was headed for an absolute divorce. But now that they have officially gotten the word from Deshaun Watson that he's not coming to Cleveland, I think Baker Mayfield is their option B, that they really are going to try and put this thing back together with him and have him be their starter this year, because I don't think that there is a lot out there. And certainly there's nobody out there with the talent that Deshaun Watson has on the trade market, because teams just don't trade franchise quarterbacks. That just does not happen. So that's, I think, where we're at, that they're just going to have to try and swallow their pride, go back to Baker and try and make things right with him.
Now, even with that, making things right with Baker, he's going into his fifth year, and I know he's still working on his rookie contract, but do you see this as a situation where, you know, Baker says, okay, I'm fine, but then ultimately leaves in free agency and leaves them hanging? Or even if he says, okay, I'm fine, they still draft a quarterback in this year's draft?
Well, they can't do that because, quite frankly, he can be franchise tagged. They control him for two more years after this coming season. So they still have three more seasons of control of Baker Mayfield if, in fact, that's what they desire.
Now they lose, they release Jarvis Landry. They get Amari Cooper. Are they set at wide receiver with Donovan Peoples-Jones and the guys that back he and Amari Cooper up, or do you think that that's the angle they go with in the draft?
Well, they cleared a lot of cap space, not only just by releasing Jarvis Landry, but J.C. Tretter, Austin Hooper. I mean, you're talking over $30 million in room that they added to an already $21 million that they had available to them. So with that all being considered, they clearly were planning to bring in a quarterback, a.k.a. Deshaun Watson, who was going to eat up a lot of salary cap space. Now that that's not happening, no, I anticipate that they will try and supplement the wide receiving core by using a pick in the draft on another receiver. They drafted Donovan Peoples-Jones and Anthony Schwartz in each of the last two drafts, but they clearly need more help at that position. Landry was a flat-out salary cap casualty. That's what that was. And but, yeah, I anticipate they're going to draft a wide receiver.
Now, are they with their current circumstances, and I know Baker's still their quarterback, and they've added Amari Cooper, are they still the third-best team in their conference? Obviously, you know, you can take your pick between Baltimore and Cincinnati, but then after those two, is it Cleveland, or do you see Cleveland ahead of one of those guys?
No, I think Cleveland's probably the third best team in the division right now, quite frankly. And look, Pittsburgh, you might argue that they are the fourth. Cincinnati, Baltimore, Pittsburgh are having really good off seasons. Of course, the Bengals are coming off of making the Super Bowl. So, it all comes down to the quarterback. Like, I, the impression that I get is that the Browns really feel like they are elite quarterback play away, you know, and until they are able to resolve that in their minds and organizationally, I think that that's just going to be a driving force for them as they go throughout their processes. Yeah, Baker Mayfield is our quarterback now. He's good enough to be our quarterback for now. But if opportunity presents for us to get somebody better, we're absolutely going to pursue that option.
Last thing, Darrell, we were talking about Austin Hooper before we brought you on. Why did his numbers go down the last 2 years in Cleveland when which everybody thought was the big home run signing,
right,
getting him away from Atlanta? What is Austin Hooper?
He's a really good player. I think some of it was system, what was being asked of him. I think some of it had to do with quarterback play. And I also think some of it just had to do with circumstance. when they signed him, at the time it was, I believe, the richest contract handed out to a tight end in free agency in NFL history. You know, Kevin Stefanski loves using 13 personnel. Tight ends are an integral portion of his offensive system. And so I was really excited when they signed Austin Hooper, thinking, hey, he's going to come be the Mark Andrews for the Cleveland Browns, right? Or the Rob Gronkowski for the Browns. And it just, it never materialized. But I think Austin Hooper's, he's a really good player. He's a really great guy, too. But I think he was a victim of circumstance in the system here.
Interesting. Daryl, really appreciate the visit on to interview 32 after us. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you down the road.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Daryl Ryder, 92.3 The Fan up in Cleveland. He covers the Browns. He's been a Browns reporter for a good while. Does a really good job. Let's discuss some of that on the other side, D-Mace. Mm-hmm. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Want to thank Best Way Rental in Madison for donating these big TVs that are on site here as the NCAA tournament is underway. I'm going to get you scores here in just a moment. Two games now underway. Local Distro for all the food. Tap Truck Nashville as well. Come try one of their beers. You can try it. We can't. Until 2 o'clock. Just saying. Darren McFarland, Derek Mason here with you. Mike Florio coming up to begin the third hour of the program. Predators in Philadelphia tonight to take on the Flyers. That will have a puck drop at 6 o'clock. Pete Weber and Hal Gill will have your call here on these airwaves. I'll have pregame for you at 5. Both games are in commercial break. I'm stalling. Mm-hmm. To give a scoreboard update. I'm stalling.
But South Dakota State is up 17-15 on Providence at the first or second TV timeout, and Colorado State is up 28-18 on Michigan.
Good.
Colorado State has been whooping.
Yes.
Or is it whipping? I think it's
whichever
whipping.
One you want to say.
I think it's whooping or whipping.
I think it's whipping where they're from.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, Michigan had a big three-point play. They were down, I think, 15 at one point. So they have closed the gap a little bit. And we'll keep you abreast of those scores. Like I said, Mike Florio coming up at noon. Austin Hooper, I'm down. The more we talk about him, other than the price, I don't know what he's going to demand. That needs to be a heavy target by the Titans because they need that position desperately. And I think there's some good tight ends in this draft, but I don't know. I don't know if there's any really, really good tight ends in this draft where, like, difference makers. Like, Austin Hooper could be a difference maker in their offense.
Yeah, run-heavy offense that relies on the middle of the field, play action. They can use him in sort of the same fashion they used Janu two seasons ago. You know, you just wonder. Because here's the thing that I say about players. And maybe it's just because I've seen it so much. Like, if you're a player, you're a player. I don't care what you know, system you go into. If you are a player, you're going to find a way to pick up everything and still be highly productive in that system. I played on run-based systems and found a way to be highly productive. I went from one run team to the next run team. Different offense, but they still was heavy run. And I found a way to be productive in both systems. Well, hell, three systems, really. Four. If you say that, two with each team. So I'm not going to buy into this, well, the system was different. He didn't fit their system. He should have found a way to fit their system. They were paying him all that money. He should have found a way to fit in their system to be productive. You know, his best season was his last two seasons in Atlanta. He didn't get targeted much when he didn't get targeted as much in Cleveland that he did in Atlanta. A lot of your targets then went to the other tight end in Cleveland. I would be a little apprehensive if you bring him to here, pay him a big dollar amount, and he doesn't fit into this system either. Because to me, players are players. If you are a player, you're a dog, you're going to play in any system. You know, people rag on the Terrell Owens, but every system Terrell Owens went in, he produced in every system. It didn't matter. I'm not buying this. Well, he, you know, the system was different. He couldn't produce in that. No, you find a way. Your talent should make you be productive in that system. They thought the other guy was better than you. So if you bring him here at a high price tag, what if he doesn't fit in the system again? Then you be doing the same things you did with Julio Jones with this guy. Now, if he comes at a low cap, you don't have to pay him a lot of money, then okay, I can see that. But if you pay him a lot of money and then he doesn't fit in the system, somebody's losing their job. Or their job is on a hot seat. Somebody.
Matthew in Nashville on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Does John Robinson think that Firkser and Swain are elite level tight ends? I can't imagine. No.
No.
No. Is that why the Titans didn't try to keep Jonnu or trade for Zach Ertz last season?
I don't know what was the reasoning.
Zach Ertz just bought a house in Nashville. I'm
yeah,
just
he
saying.
Did. I thought somebody else bought a house here, too.
I was. No, he's not building one. He bought one. Oh. So he's got a house. He's a house owner.
Is it in the quarterback row?
I don't know. I was told that several weeks ago.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's the gated quarterback community or exactly where. Mm. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's somewhere in between Brentwood and Franklin. That's kind of the limb I'm willing to go out on.
It still puts them within 30 minutes of the facility. Yeah.
Maybe Belmead.
Yeah.
Maybe Green Hills. I don't know. Somewhere in that geographic region of this town.
But again, I'm sure when they and listen, I don't know all of the particulars that went into them not wanting to sign Jonnu. They let both of their pass catchers go. They're number two and number three pass catchers. They let both of them just walk. I can see you offering a contract to one of them. And then they decline it, but you didn't. It seems like not even publicly, you didn't offer either one of these guys contract, and you expected Firkser and the other guy to step up. Man, please, seriously, I don't get it. I can just watching those guys. I can tell you they are complementary pieces. They are guys that are not your number one tight end. They're more so the number two tight end and number three tight end.
Colorado State leads Michigan 34-24, minute and a half to go in the first half. South Dakota State up on Providence 17-15 midway through the first half. Those are a couple of games going on in the NCAA tournament. We'll come back. Mike Florio to start hour number three. That's next.